Okay. We've got three Davids, at least. If there's more Davids listening than three Davids that I know of, I have a word for all three of you. So when I say David, I'm talking about all three of you. So welcome. I want you to know that you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I don't think we can exaggerate about these things. There are many things we don't know, but I'm going to speak about things that we do know this morning. I want to talk to you about things that I do know. So first of all, the prophecy for the three Davids. I want to pick on David. Thanks a lot. That's great. That works. I just do something along those lines. Yeah. There's a line, I love the lyrics, you know, Delirious sang a song, I'm going to put on these God shoes and do what I'm here for. I'm going to raise that flag again. And David, I have, you know, I'm not given to pictures, but in the, you know, I picture the guitar, you and the guitar. And so, you know, there's been an anointing on your life, you know, even from a young age. And God has never changed his mind about the call on your life. And I speak to the Davids because the Davids are the beloved. There's something about that name. And I have a brother, David, Christopher David, David Christopher. And it's a beautiful name. This morning, I want to talk to you about the cave, the upper room, and the glory of God. The cave, the upper room, and the glory of God. And these things are very near to my heart. I'm going to share some of the things that COVID has, this time of COVID has taught me. And I want to speak very clearly, very plainly. And so I may skip over some scriptures because I find that if I start to read reams of scripture, I'm going to kind of lose you, and I'm going to kind of not stay on track. And it's not that the scripture isn't important, because it is. And so if you've got a pen and a paper, you can write them down. I'll give you some references, but I am going to read scripture as well. I opened my email this morning, and Abner Bosky's newsletter was on my email, and I read this. Come you now who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. How many know that's true? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live like this, we will do this, or we will do that. This was a very interesting week for me. I went through some real turmoil in my emotions, and I'm not new to turmoil, and I'm not new to turmoil in my emotions, but I can pick the day, and I remember the day very clearly, and my emotions were turned upside down, and I was affected by news. I was affected by the media, and I received this news, and it affected me, but something began to stir in my spirit, that was greater than the news. Now, I'm saying this because you can pick on any example you want, because every one of us gets news. Every one of us hears things. But I tell you, there's hearing and there's hearing. And hope is intricately connected to hearing. Hope is connected to hearing. When we hear well, I can tell you the number of times I have gone into the Word of God out of a place, out of a difficult place, and come out a totally different person. Totally different, because hope began to swell up inside of me. There's nothing like it. This morning, I didn't care about the weather. I want to tell everybody, I didn't care about the weather. You know, I looked outside and it wasn't raining this morning. But, you know, it's really interesting. I'm just being really honest with you guys. It didn't matter. I didn't care. Although I'll say this much, I thought that if it rained, it would make a better illustration. Okay, so that's what I want to say about that. It would make a better illustration, because I've been telling people the story of the first March for Jesus that took place in London, England. That the organizers of that event got up that morning, and there was a fog and a grayness, and there was rain. And they got up, and they had expected a possibility of 2,000 people showing up. And that morning, they began to look out into the fog, and the rain was pouring down. 15,000 people gathered on the streets of London, England to march for Jesus. It was an incredible beginning to something that swept the globe. It went global. It was a global move of God. And I'm going to talk about those this morning, because one of the things on my heart is go back. Go back. Don't ever say, don't look at the past. Don't ever say, don't talk about the past. Don't talk about Azusa Street. Don't talk about TACF. Don't talk about Pensacola. Talk about those things. In fact, the scripture implores us, it encourages us to stir our hearts with these things and these stories, because hope is rising again. Hope is rising again. Hope has been lost in many people's hearts, and God is restoring it. And I wrote a song this morning. I went off, didn't I? Oh, you guys will hear me. Okay, and I can yell out. We went off out on the speaker, but so this is a prophetic picture this morning. Standing outside the church with the doors open. This is a prophetic picture. I want you to see this. The doors of the church have been swung open. Yep. I'm just checking. They've been swung open, and we're spilling out onto the grass. And so I haven't wanted, you know, okay, I'm going to be brutally honest. There was one Sunday where I was envious of all of you guys and everybody who was at home. I was envious. And I want you to understand what I'm about to say, because it's not about where you're located this morning. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I was envious. And this is the reason. And it's still the reason. The reason hasn't changed. And I want to give it to you. The reason was because when we went into this thing, I believe that God wanted to accomplish things, and that they were not to be completed. They were not to be exited from prematurely. When we exit from something prematurely, it's like the butterfly coming out of the cocoon, and you try to help that thing. You know, guy like me with the mercy gift would just clip that last little thing, you know, and it prevents the butterfly from ever flying. And so I've not wanted this thing to end prematurely until God accomplished everything that was in his heart to accomplish. And so these are the three P's that are part of my life. I didn't get this off the internet. These are my three P's. And they have to do with passion. Passion for the Son of God. I want to be passionate. I want to be like Corey. I want to have passion for the Son of God. I want it to be like Mark talked about, that air conditioner. I want it to be contagious. I want passion. And passion, so I don't want to leave this place prematurely. And it's not about a physical location. It's about the work of Almighty God. It's about what he's doing. It's about what he's doing. It's not about the place where we find ourselves right now in our particular geographic area. It's about what he is doing. So passion. The other is power. The church has been powerless for far too long. The early church knew something about power. And throughout history, and I'm gonna that's why we've got to look back, because historically power has been part of the church. It's been part of our inheritance, part of what the church walks in. And the third one is proclamation. And I love this one. And in Acts 28:31, it talks about the unstoppable gospel. The unstoppable gospel. It never ended. The book of Acts never ended. It's unstoppable. It's continuing. And so this is where I come to my song that I wrote this morning. Just a couple of lyrics of a song. And I just wrote this. But this is what Paul said. In the book of Acts, it says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. I want to tell you, the gospel is not hindered. There's no hindering of the gospel. The gospel is going forth very clearly and very well in these days. The gospel will not be hindered. It will not be hindered. Bob Ayala, who I love, a blind musician, Bob Ayala, look him up. I love his music. Bob Ayala sang a song years ago, and I could only find part of the lyrics. I used to know them all, but it said something along these lines. Nero tried to stop my song. Still I sing in Ugandan prisons. And it goes on, you know, the attempt to stop the song, to end the book of Acts with a period, to stop the proclamation of the gospel, or to stop the gospel from moving forward. So here's my song. COVID tried to stop my song. Still I sing in Singapore streets. COVID tried to stop my song, but my blessings ring ever more strong. COVID tried to stop my song, but followers of me are being baptized on the streets. So there it is. I try to wrap it for you, but I don't know how successful I'd be at that. Acts chapter 1:4. It's a matter of waiting. It's a matter of staying in that place until we're endued with power. That's what Jesus said. In Acts chapter 1:4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The word wait literally means to stay around. It's an idea of hanging around, you know, just and if anything has happened, we're hanging people right now. We are hanging around. Many of us are hanging around our backyards. I took Corey in my backyard and I showed him a little a wood thing that my son and I built, you know, and it's a little workshop, you know, I love it. It's like a little log cabin, you know, just very funny. And he says, COVID, you know, like in other words, you know, like this is one of the things that's come out of this, so it says to wait. And in Luke 24:49, it says, I'm going to send what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You know, we need to apprehend and take in everything that God has for us. Don't let not this time be wasted, but let's take in everything he has for us. Let's become a passionate people, a powerful people, a people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ and will proclaim it because it's very real to us. The passion for the Son of God has come alive in us. There's a new power. We pray, you know, we pray with more hope. We pray with faith. You know, we pray same prayers, but with a greater expectation. My father was a planner. And this is why I say, you know, like there it's good to look back and it's good to live right in the present, but there's also the planning. There's a future. And that's what I want to say, because many people have lost the hope of a future. There seems to be, I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of stories and you know how it goes and how speculation, you know, builds on itself. And I mean, you can make up a story, you know, and it would fit in with some of the stories because nobody knows, you know, like your story would just be as good as the next guy's story, you know, but my father was a planner. And he would plan the vacations for our family, and he took great delight in it. In fact, he spent weeks, you know, I remember, you know, watching this. But not only did I watch it, it became part of me, you know. And so for trips, I became the planner. And I would love to plan. When we were first married, I planned a trip on our first wedding anniversary to Vermont. And I took a long time to plan this because I had to get everything by mail. That was before the internet, you know. So we got this brochure and we got, you know, I booked this beautiful hotel, you know, in I think it was in Stowe, Vermont. And we got there and we went upstairs to our room. And I tell you, I'm going to exaggerate just a little bit, but not very much. We had to go sideways down the hallway, you know, and it was musty. I mean, it was musty. And I tell you, it didn't look like the brochures at all. You know, it just somehow didn't. I mean, it's amazing how now with all the modern technology and with the internet and everything, they can still do the same thing. They can make these places look like, you know, 5 stars when they're 2.5 stars. Anyway, so, but you know that our Father in heaven, our Father God is a planner. Listen to this, Ephesians 1. This is from the Message. I really love this. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy. I love that, whole and holy. Those are great words. We're broken people. We really are. I can't go there. But he's going there in my heart. By his love, long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. What pleasure and delight he took in planning sons and daughters that would be part of his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 2:10 says this, that we are his workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand. I love that. Prepared beforehand. There's a lot of planning that's gone into all this stuff. And see, on Tuesday or whatever day it was, when I was overwhelmed by the news, I was equally, and I was more overwhelmed by the truth that there's a planner. There's a planner over every plan. There's a planner that's greater. There's a government that's greater than the government of earth. And our Father is a planner, and he has planned things beforehand that we should walk in. You got a destiny on your life. You got a plan of a father, and not just any father, who has planned and purposed things for you to walk in. Your feet. I love blessing feet because peace is my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it says that part of the armor is that we should be, you know, the old King James, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, whatever that means. But, you know, to have these gospel shoes on. That's why I love that song, David. Put on those God shoes and do what you're called for and raise that flag again. Do what he's called you to. In Costa Rica, I was with Youth with a Mission. And I can't go into all the details, but there was a lack of hope. There was an incredible lack of hope in my life. I hadn't finished high school. I'll just throw in a couple of things. There's some things going on in my life that didn't exactly pave the way forward for my life. And I went into an open field just up on a mountain, an open area. I walked in an open field. And just the way the Lord does, and I didn't even know the reference. I don't know how it came to me. But Proverbs 23:18 has been one of my life scriptures. And as you know, I've got many life scriptures. And that's good too. Get lots of them, you know. But it says, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. And I want to tell you, saints of God, that there's a future. Brandon, I'm looking at you, my friend. There is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. You have an enemy, but you have a father. You have a father, and you have a good, good father. And his plans for you are good. His plans for you are good. There is a future for your life. That you take this for yourself. Proverbs 23:18. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. In Psalm 42, it says, where is this God of yours? You remember that? Where is this God of yours? And what a thing. And then you switch over to 3 Peter. So 3 Peter chapter 3, and it says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers will come and they will scoff. This is what they will do. They will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he has promised? You want to talk about ultimate hope and what is our ultimate hope? For those that have lost hope, I want to tell you there is an ultimate hope. But there's hope before the ultimate hope. But here in 3 Peter, he's like the psalmist who says, you must understand this. You must understand that there will be scoffers. You must understand that there will be news that isn't my news. You must understand that there will be things spoken over your life that are not what I'm saying about you. You must understand that. And they will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on since the beginning of creation. What's changed? You know, what's changed? And so we're going to just get through this thing too. And I mean, what's changed? What difference has it made? What difference has it made? But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. And this is it. This leads to the proclamation of the gospel. And this is where this thing is headed. It's heading to harvest. It's heading to harvest. And listen to this. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone to come to repentance. Is that beautiful? The proclamation of the gospel. His patience. You know, some people say, oh, I just want out of here. You know, I just want you to take me home. You know, my mom just wanted to go home. You know, I would scold my mom. I would scold her, and she just wanted to go home. And I said, Mom, you're here to pray for your grandchildren. You know, yes, heaven's coming. Heaven is your hope. But right now, you need to be here. Joel needs you. He needs your prayers. You know, we need you, Mom. We need you to pray. And one day, my mom got a call. She got a call from my brother. My mom had Alzheimer's. She got a call from my brother, and he said, you need to pray. And she said, he said his son's name. You need to pray. And that was her grandson. And my mom came to attention. Alzheimer's or not, she came to attention. She was an intercessor. People love to have my mom pray for them, you know, because, you know, she's touched heaven, you know. And so they wanted her to pray. And so she began to pray for her grandson. And I'm so grateful she prayed for my son. And, where am I? So don't forget one thing, the Lord is not slow about his promises. In Acts 1:8, it says that Acts 1:8. Look it up. What does it say? What is it? It's the one, go into all the world and make disciples. No, it's sort of along those lines. Can you read it out loud? Just somebody look it up, Acts 1:8. I want to turn to it, but I wanted just to make a point, and I don't want to take too much time on that, but Acts 1:8, you shall receive, thank you, that's what I wanted. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's what the scripture says, Acts 1:8. Okay, so they got this beautiful word. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to receive power. This is COVID time. God is wanting to empower the church. You're going to receive power. But then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, so you reverse them, 1:8, then you go to chapter 8, 1, was the persecution of the church that forced the church out. The church was flung out. And it talks about in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about how far the church went. It began to go out. it began to go out. I think that's so precious, so beautiful, and I believe God is doing that right now. Every time the Holy Spirit is poured out, there is a harvest. Every time. That's why we need to know history. We need to be people of history and understand that every time the Holy Spirit is poured out, there is a harvest. You look through the book of Acts, you will see when the Holy Spirit came, there was a harvest. There was an incredible result and a harvest that came forth. The 70s harvest. I'm one of the guys. I'm one of the harvest, one of the harvest field, the 70s harvest. I can't tell you the number of people I've met over the years who are part of the 70s harvest. Some of you weren't even born then, 1975. Part of the 70s, the 70 harvest. My goodness gracious. I took Valerie when I met her in the 80s, I took her to a coffee house. They were doing all the same things, the same music, the same coffee. Everything was the same, but nobody was getting saved. But in the 70s, they would walk into these places and they would get saved. I mean, it was a move of God across the face of the earth. So I was part of the 70s harvest. If you look at Elijah, if you look at the scripture of Elijah, where he told his servant to go out, he said this, Elijah said this, I hear the sound. There's a sound of a heavy rain. You know, we need to hear before we see. We need to believe. We need to believe before we see. And so Elijah said that he heard the sound of a heavy rain. He heard it in his spirit. There was something that entered into his heart. Nobody could teach it to him. Nobody could take it away. Nobody could discourage him because there wasn't a cloud in the sky. So he begins to send his servant out. And six times his servant went out. And I tell you, many of us have lost hope. There are things that we've gone out for. We believe for. You know, that's why Kevin Prosh, I love Kevin Prosh. He sings with such passion. He even begins to cry in his songs. You know, the things we've cried out for will finally come. They will surely come. And those that have hope and those that have faith that has not disappeared, and God begins to fan that hope and that faith, begin to believe that. And they go out the seventh time, and this is what they see. They see the cloud the size of a man's hand. And he says, run. Run. Because there's about to be a downpour. There's about to be a downpour. I want to talk to you about a song from the cave. There are COVID songs coming out. Don't you love the blessing song? I just, you know what I love the best about that song? I love it all. But the part I love the best is where it says, he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And we speak over Ottawa right now. We speak over the nation's capital. And we say that God is for you. That the blessings of heaven are for you. For you. That this is your hour. This is the time. We say, Lord, even open up the gates, Lord. Open up the floodgates, Lord. Let this be the hour of proclamation, Lord. The hour, okay, now I want to talk about the proclamation and what it looks like, because we don't like evangelism. We don't like evangelism. Anybody who's done door-to-door evangelism, you know, there's the odd exception. I mean, David Brad maybe was the odd exception, but I hated it, you know. It was tough. Door-to-door evangelism. You remember that? You know, but I want to tell you what evangelism post-COVID is going to look like. I want to give you a picture of that. Here we go. Here's a song from a cave, okay? David found himself in a cave. I don't have time to go into the whole story. He's running from Saul. You know the story. You can look it up. And in Psalm chapter 57, let me just look it here. There's a song that comes in a cave. And so I call the COVID time a cave in the upper room, because that's where I feel we are. We're either in a place like, and there's a lot of, it's not an easy time. I am reminded, and God's been merciful to remind me of that. You know, when I talk to a single mom and I try to, you know, enter into understanding what it's been like for her, you know, with these kids, you know, and so forth. And I try to be empathetic and understand. And so it has not been easy. And I mean, that's not even touching on the people that have been touched with the sickness and those, you know, I got an email. Oh, I wish I had it. It's what a precious brother. Oh my goodness. I didn't realize, even plan to tell you this story, but I got this story. I got this from either Corey or somebody, It's an organization called, Marvin, it might have been you. What's it called? The Revelation something? We get the emails. Marvin will tell us later. And I think they put together some of the videos, some of the, like, Pilgrim's Progress and all that stuff. Well, the founder of that organization got COVID. And he wrote, I think it was last Sunday, and I wrote him right back, and I said, oh, thank you. You know, thank you for, it took him all the energy he had to write what he wrote. I'll pass it along. I think it's worth reading. But it talks about his love for the Word of God and the fact that he's getting this out, that he's become a target. He feels like he became a target because of what he's doing for God and the work that he's doing. And so he became a target. Anyway, he got COVID, and But he writes about the proclamation of the gospel. And he writes about how all of this, like the enemy is really upset about anything that, you know, he just wants to do anything he can to stop the gospel from going forward. And we know from Paul's life, we know from the book of Acts, we know from church history that it's unstoppable. But it doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try to stop it. So anyway, that's an incredible story. And I've tried to find out how he's doing, but I don't have an update on him. The 70s harvest, the PK harvest, the Promise Keeper harvest. I was in the Pontiac Stadium. I used to feel a little bit guilty because I used to tell this story like this. I was among 70,000 men. One of the first Promise Keepers, they were filling stadiums. Men, I mean, this was a harvest. It really was. You know, they filled. You couldn't get up to the front when they gave the altar call and people giving their hearts to Jesus. So I was in a Pontiac, Michigan stadium and with other men from our church. So I'd always say 70,000 men. But I remember in the back of my mind hearing this, well, you know, the stadium, you know, seats so many people. But then you know how when they take over a stadium, they use the floor or something. Anyway, long story short, it might have been less, you know. But then I thought, I should really research this. 72,000 men. 72,000 men. It was a harvest of harvests, I tell you. Promise Keepers, some of you were part of that. Some of you partook in that. It was a move of God. Again, it dwindled down to little gatherings, you know. But in its time, God, stadiums were being filled with men. A song from a cave. Yeah, I love that. Awake my soul. This is the song. That's what I was talking to you about, the song from the cave. David writes this. Awake my soul, awake harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. This is one of Valerie's favorite scriptures these days, is the idea of the awakening of the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love. Great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. This is what I want to talk about, the new evangelism. The evangelism above all evangelisms is the glory of God filling the earth. At TICF, Bob Birch, some of you don't know TICF, Toronto Airport, Bob Birch, was that probably in his 90s or around that time, he was at TICF, and he just saw with his eyes the glory. He saw something of the glory. And I'm going to define the glory in a second, but he saw something of the glory. And he said, your servant can depart in peace, for I have seen your glory. I have seen your glory. I think, were you there? Yes, Heather was there. She heard that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says this. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not from us. John Piper describes the glory of God like this, and I love it. The glory is going public with his infinite worth going public. It's the infinite worth of God going public. It's his infinite worth being put on display. The infinite worth of and beauty of the Lord being displayed, on display for everyone to see it. And one of the ways that will happen is through the answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. And we won't go there because we've been getting a lot of things on that, and you know about that. But I tell you, where you have an opportunity to unify, choose unity. Where you have an opportunity to be reconciled, choose reconciliation. Where you have an opportunity to extend peace, and you will see the glory. You will experience the glory. John 17 is being answered. But this is what it says in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Okay. Oh my goodness. I want to pray. Let's pray together. Join me in prayer. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, David prayed for your glory. He prayed for your glory in a very difficult place, in a cave. He prayed for the glory of God. David saw things. David leaned into you, and even in what seemed like a hopeless situation, hope rose in his heart. And he saw something of the glory. He saw something of the glory that was to come, the glory that was to be released upon the earth. And Lord, I pray for the saints of God. I pray right now for everyone here listening, everyone that's listening right now. I pray that you would restore passion for the Son of God, passion within our hearts. Restore that to us, Lord God, in this time, Lord. And Lord, restore power to your church, Lord. Restore power to your church. And a fresh proclamation of the gospel. I pray that hope would begin to rise once again. I pray into every home and across this field and out into our city, God. We pray for hope. You are the God of all hope. It's to you we pray. Release it, Lord. Release it, Lord God. Let hopeless situations begin to turn around, Lord God, as eyes are fixed on you. Lord, you are the God of hope. Let eyes be fixed on you and receive the glory. Receive the glory, Lord. Receive the glory. Receive the glory from everyone that's touched by what Corey prayed earlier, Lord. Receive the glory. Receive the glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just want to take just one more minute. I want to speak a final word. And I'm just picking on some people here. Every single one of you, every single one of you here has been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. You can point a time in your life where you came to faith. And some of you grew up. I mean, we have the testimony. I think Jack grew up in the church, you know, one of our interns, you know, but even in his life, he has the testimony of a time that he remembers turning. But it doesn't matter when that was or when we came into the kingdom. We have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We're the ones alive right now. We're the ones carrying a treasure within us that's intended to spill out. It's intended to spill out. We are cracked vessels. And being real is a good thing. You know, being real. I've told you I've cried more tears during COVID than I did before pre-COVID, you know. And I think there's more tears to come. But Lord, soften our hearts and do the work that only you can do by the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. So the prophecy is you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this.